The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church.
Oh, you can do better than that. Hallelujah.
If you need additional information, hallelujah. Visit FirstBaptistChurch.wch.org.
Hallelujah. God has done a marvelous thing, and we ought to praise him. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but it's been a year. But just to be standing, what a blessing. And he promised, Brother Lucky, that I shall recover it all. Oh, I have some stuff to recover this year. And I've got a testimony that I shall. I have recovered. There's still some more to recover now. But I shall. I shall recover it all. I shall recover it all. I shall recover. I shall do this. Not because of who I am, but to whom I belong. I shall recover. Oh, I shall recover. I feel him. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, I can feel him in the atmosphere. Ah, I got my strength now. Hallelujah. I got my strength now. You know, if you get weak, all you got to do is praise him and say, God, I thank you because I shall recover it all. I shall recover it all. I shall recover. I shall recover. Yes, I shall. Oh, you got to tell it to yourself. You got to prophesy to yourself that I shall recover it all. Oh, I know you can. I know you can do it with me, Brother Ed. I know you can do it with me, Brother Deacon Fisher. I shall recover. There's some stuff we got to recover. And then we can take it by force, if necessary, in the heavenly realms. Amen. Let's lift a hand. I just want to bless them this morning. I just want to bless them this morning. Hallelujah. I just want to bless them this morning. Oh, and I want you to look at your neighbor. And I want you to say something. Ask them, what time is it? 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 What time is it in the house of God? What time is it in your ministry? What time is it at First Baptist? What time is it in our country? What time is it? Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. A lot to say. And I said, Lord, if I can't say it all, I'll just have to do a part two someday. Not next Sunday, but someday. Father, we thank you right now for your word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I just thank you for being my recovery agents. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. And Lord, may the word go forth with power and with your anointing. Because it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Thank you for meeting every need. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture for this morning, we have two, but we're going to just start with one. Ecclesiastic, the third chapter, verse 1-4. What time is it? We're gonna walk this a little bit this morning. Amen. What time is it? And they gave me plenty of time to get this out. Amen. Gotta do it. Won't he do it? Oh, bless your name. When you have it, say amen. They have it up to, okay. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1-4. To everything, there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. There is a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. There is a time. And so the question, you can have your seat. The question is, what time is it? Amen. What time is it? Amen. What time is it? And unbelievable, I am very conscious of time, but I don't wear a watch. And I am just conscious of time. things have to start on time. This has to happen on time. But there are times that things are interrupted in the process of you going places. I had something else on my agenda for the day, but God interrupted my plans so that I might stand and deliver the word. And I said, yes. And he said, I said, God, I don't want to take care of this. And he said, then I'll take care of that. You got to be willing to allow him to be in the forefront so he can do what he does best, which is move. Amen. So we're going to look at the times. And I thought, God, who would be a good example? Because there's so much with a thing called time. Who would be an example? And he said, why don't you use me? Of course, Jesus would say that, right? Why don't you use me? And so I'm going to look at Jesus today, the beginning of the end of his time on earth. And so we're going to look at the time to betray, the time to plan, the time to anoint, the time to sing, the time to run, and the time to deny. And I don't know if we're going to get through all of it today. But when my time is up, I have often thanked him for that. He lets me know when it's time to stop and when it's time to start. So I don't care how much I have. He can always say, this is enough. And he's already forewarned me that I have more than enough. Amen. Sometimes God is going to give you more than enough. And you just have to have your cup open so it overflows. Amen. Amen. I thank God for my husband. I thank God for our pastor and his absence. And we're and our first lady as well. We're just going to go forth in the word of God so that Christ can be lifted, souls can be delivered, and hearts can be restored. Amen. So let us look at this thing called time. In everything, there is a season. There's a time for everything. I want you to know there's a time set for everything that happens. Nothing, it may look at it as if it just happened by coincidence, but everything is set on a time. And we're going to look at it today. And you have to know in your life, what time is it? Is it a time to war? Or is it a time to be at peace? Is it a time to weep? Or is it a time to laugh? What time is it? And everything that happened in the Bible happened at a certain time. Now you got to understand this. There is a beginning and end for mankind, for us. Every funeral that you have on the obituary, they either have your sunset, which is when you started, sunrise, and then sunset. Or some would say the Alpha and the Omega. But there is a beginning for all of us, and there is an end for all of us. Now, the Father, who is the author of time, has no beginning or end. When he said in Genesis, in the beginning, he had already begun. He had already existed. But he was beginning to set some things in place. So he is outside of time because he created time. So time cannot control him because he created it. Anything he creates, he controls. So he said, I am the author of time. Nothing happens without God knowing it. I know it's difficult for you to digest that, but there is absolutely nothing that happens that surprises God, because he sees all, knows all, and is the supreme releaser. He can stop some stuff, or he can stand back and just let it happen. He is God. And he said, tell them, I am going to help you understand timing. Because some things that have happened to us is because we have not made it on time. but you shall recover it today. Redeeming the time. This is in this present moment. This is a time, and once it goes in a circle, you will never get back today. You will get another moment, but not this moment. So he said, I want you to know that we are in the present time, and there is a word from the Savior. How do we manage our time? Who do we spend our time with? And how much time do you give to searching and studying and praying the Word of God? Because there is a time to even pray, a set time that you should have. Amen. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm excited. Time. So let's take a look at this. Really, the scripture that I'm going to be focusing on is Matthew 26. And so let's get there, and then we're going to start with this thing called time. It didn't start in Matthew. We're just going to pick up in Matthew. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 1 and 2. The time to betray. I think she, okay, yeah. She got the little clock up. A time. We're looking at Jesus. Amen. We're looking at him. And he's always telling us, look at me. I can set you free. But you won't look. So he said, look at me. I got the power. Not just some power. I got all power. Now, Satan has power. Don't be deceived now. He has power. He just doesn't have all power. So if you want some real power, you need to go to the one who has all power and say, Lord, just release a little. A little will set our lives on fire. Power to do. Power to be silent. Power to speak. Power to dance. Power to pray. When it is time to do so. Amen. Matthew. Hurry. Matthew. Okay. It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these saying, he said unto his disciples, after he had preached, after he had given this lesson about the 10 version, five wise and five foolish, the talents, the sheep and the goat. He had a public teaching session like we're having now. And when he had finished his public lesson, he turned to his disciples and said, now we need to go into a private class. Oh, sometimes you got to go into your private class because there's some stuff that has to be said privately in a small group that he may not release in a large one. So he said to them, you know, the second verse, that in 2 days' time, the feast of the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He said, listen, in 2 days' time, it's going to be the Passover. Oh, we celebrated the Passover before. The Passover symbolizes the Exodus, where God frees the Israelite from slavery, from bondage, from the Egyptian. God was the great deliverer. Now, it is no coincidence at this time, Jesus is actually going, his end time is going to be exactly when they celebrate the holiday of the Passover, because he is the Passover lamb. And he is coming to do greater than what happened in Egypt. He's coming to deliver us from the power of sin, from the bondage of sin. No one else could do it, but he's going to do it. And he's telling his disciple, it's not that he hadn't said this before. A good teacher always repeats. I want to tell you that. A good teacher will always repeat. That's all not that's so true. You haven't met a good teacher. Any great teacher will repeat the concept because they want you to what? Get it. And so he told them this before, but this time was different. He said many times while he was teaching, it is not yet my time to be delivered up. Don't worry, they can't touch me. But this time, he said, my disciples, I got some news for you. My time to be delivered up is near. In fact, in 2 days, the Son of Man, I'm going to be betrayed. Now, Ed, it's one thing to be betrayed. You know, if it's no one close to you, you can deal with it. Folks on your job, they do it all the time. But someone in your inner circle, someone you taught, someone you broke bread with, someone you had over to the house, is going to betray you, the Son of Man. And they're going to crucify him. To be crucified is to die. And when he finished saying that, I can only imagine they're looking at what's going on. Also, it's going to happen this time. I'm going to be delivered up. Amen. It's going to happen. So let's look at this plan here. That's one meeting. You got two meetings that happen. He just finished the public teaching. Now he had a private meeting with his disciples. And while he is releasing a time of what's going to happen, there's another meeting happened across town at the same time. At the same time, we got two meetings. Matthew 26, verse 3 and 5. Then assembled together the chief priests and the elders, the scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now let's go back. Let me slow it all the way down. One meeting, he's declaring to them the future of his death. The other meeting, there are the people who are going to be the instrument to use to bring him to the cross. He said, this meeting, and now I'm not talking about sinners now. I'm talking about the high priest, the chief priest, the scribes, the elders. And they met at Caiaphas' house, the high priest's house. They had a meeting to discuss, to plan, to plot Jesus' demise. And they wanted to do it. How do we get him? Secretly. And then kill him. How can I bring her down and catch her off guard? You got to be careful when you have a setup. There's a setup for a great fall, and you don't realize it until you're in the hands of the enemy. And this was the church leaders. These were the followers of the Old Testament who read the scripture day and night, but they were out of order because they didn't realize that at this time they were going to usher in the Messiah's death, and they wanted him dead. So we got to ask God, help us. When you have a plan, good or evil, God sometimes stand back and let it happen. Last weekend, there was some stuff set in place. You all thought that young man in Texas, he just got up one morning and did, no. If they're going to have to tell the whole story. And when they tell it, they're going to let you know that he planned the whole thing. He planned it. Drove 9 hours and took out folks and then stood like this so his life could be spared. It was a plan. It was an evil plan, but it still was a plan. On Sunday morning, there was another one. Last Saturday night, early Sunday morning, whenever at whatever time, saw another group something happened. Someone else had planned something. There are meetings happening. You're not in the meeting, but they're talking about you. And it's time for the believers to take off their lens so that they know how to pray and say, God, help me. God, what's going on today? Is it my time? Is it? And they were trickery. They came with I really wanted to put this a time to deceive, because they were coming subtly, a trickery, a cunning scheme. Watch the schemes. Looking in your face, laughing in your face, but behind your back, they're developing a plan to take you out. And we as believers have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Oh, God is speaking. God, what shall I do? Is it my time? And when he finished that, he went to another place. And I think I'm going to park here. A time to anoint. Because we don't talk about anointing or. But the anointing. Help me, Holy Ghost. The anointing. Matthew 26, 6 and 8. The anointing. The anointing. And when Jesus was in Bethlehem in the house of Simon the leper, he went to Bethlehem. He went into a leper's house. Now, you know what, the leper had to be healed, because it is uncommon for a leper, for anyone to mingle with someone who is leprous. If they have leprosy, they are cast in the outer skirts of town. There's no dealing with leprosy. So the idea that he was in his home, we already know that the master, the healer, had already healed him. And while they were in the house at this time, supper time is what I call it, but you all call it, dinner? Dinner here? Okay, dinner. And there came unto him a woman who having an alabaster box, a precious ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at meat. While he was in the house, relaxing and reclining at the table, eating, there was a divine interruption to fulfill a divine plan. Let me say it again. There was a divine interruption to fulfill a divine plan. Now, the disciples was in the house. Simon was in the house. They were eating and chatting. Jesus was reclining. And there comes a woman. Help me, Holy Ghost. I got to park here. I wanted to rush a little bit, Brother Lucky, but he told me I needed to put it in park here. And in obedience to the author of time, I got to park it. And I'm going to talk with you a little bit about Sister So-and-so. Amen. Sister So-and-so. They said she is really Mary of Magdalene. Then some say she's really Mary, who is Lazarus' sister. Luke says this, John says that. I'm going to Matthew. I want you to focus on that there was a woman who entered the house and interrupted a meeting, an eating time. God used someone who at that time they thought was, where's she coming from? I mean, why? Wait a minute now. Where are you going? She just didn't enter the house, Sister Fitzgerald. She came in the house, crushed the bottle, broke the bottle. Now, come on, sisters. And not just broke any bottle. I mean, I'm talking about some expensive stuff. Now, I could park there for a moment. But I don't think I will. I can park there. And expensive stuff, right? And she went not to everyone in the house. She said, I must find Jesus, the anointed one, the Christ. The Christ. Where is the Christ? And when she zoomed on to the Messiah, which is the anointed one, she took the oil and she poured it on his head. Ah, she got to his feet. But she first had to go where? To the head. And she poured it. Oh, mercy, 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 mercy. It costs us something. You don't know the cost. Oh, you don't understand why I scream and why I do what I do. But you don't know the cost of my all. You don't know what it took for him to rescue me. It took a miracle. It took a miracle. But he did it. I mean, he had to go out of his way for me. Because he had to go in the mouth of Satan to pull me out to do the will of God. But he did it. I didn't think it would be possible. I didn't think it could happen. But while I was out there, while I was standing, while I was away from God, there were two intercessors praying night and day. One, my mother, and my other spiritual mom, who has gone on to glory, prayed and travailed. Whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you do, God, whatever you do, don't let her stay out there. I don't care if she, whatever you do, don't let her have peace until she comes home. And for 6 years, I had no peace. And I said, what is this? I was fighting against the warriors in the prayer room, and they prayed night and day. They travail for me. So you don't know the cost of my all. I'm not going to apologize that I scream sometime. I'm not going to apologize that I have to say hallelujah sometime, because you don't know the cost. Oh, it was a cost. And she considered the cost and kept going, because she knew they were going to say something. The others. I haven't gotten to the others part yet, but there's the others. There's Jesus, and then there's the others. Help me, Holy Ghost. I feel my help. Oh, help me, Jesus. When I just need to see Jesus. She walked in, and he said, tell them, don't worry about whether my name was Mary or Mary this or Mary that. They said, you're focusing on the wrong thing. He said, it is time for you to focus on the real message. The message is, I found the Messiah. I don't know why, Tiffany, he wanted me to come in. I don't know why I had to be the first one. I don't know why. I am the first one to stand. I don't know why. But I do know. I was sent by God. And that was the case with the sister. She was sent by God, and she found them. She gave up a year's wages. That's how much it cost. And my husband will tell you, I was, ooh, ooh, a year, ooh, ooh, what? How much does this cost? Huh? You pay what? I mean, I almost had to breathe Felipe yesterday. I was like, how much is this perfume? What? You are. So I do know how the others felt. But sometimes we focus so much on the cost that we forget about the price. He paid it all. So if you give up a year's wages, in the scheme of thing, it is a light thing, because you don't know what he did for the woman who came in with the all. She came in with the all, and she said, I'm going to give Jesus my best. And she did it. But something else happened, an act of love. You know Jesus was excited, an act of love. But listen to the others, and I'm going to finish. And when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Now he sees this as an act of love. They see it as an act of waste. All depends on what set of lens you're looking in. It's not your money. It's not your money. This is the Lord's house. This is the Lord's house. This is the Lord's house. If he want us, if the Lord says spend it for this, we should say amen, so be it. Because if he said it, saints of God, he will provide more. But the reason we don't have more is because we are not willing to release the little. And remember, little is much in the hands of God. We used to sing a song, little is much when God is in it. Little becomes much. And he said, but you're crying over crumbs. And I know it because I've done it. Crying over crumbs. And he said, I got a whole loaf to give you. And you're all fighting over this little piece of, it's just a piece of crumb. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. This is the Lord's house. I think we need to remind ourselves, this is the Lord's house. This is the Lord's house. These are the Lord's people. It is not my ministry. It is not my people. This is the Lord's house. These are his sheep. These are his sheep. It is his responsibility to feed them, and he's going to send whoever he wants to feed his sheep. Feed his lamb. Lovest thou me more than this, Peter? If you love me, you got to feed him. If you love me, you're going to have to do some. You can't say you love God and never give. It is out of order. You have not paid, you have not evaluated the price of your all. Because once you evaluate the price of your all, giving is easy. All right. Help me, Jesus. Whew. So in verse 9, this is the others talking. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Now, already home. I mean, can you believe it? They spent how much on that? Help. Breathe. You spent how much? Breathe. You spent how much? Breathe. I can talk about this one. How much did you spend? And they said, you could have given this to the who? To the poor. They could have. But the idea, I want you to understand, they said, you have wasted precious money on the king. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. How can you waste on the king? I mean, you can waste on a lot of people. Help me, Jesus. But you can't waste on the king. Because whatever you pour on the king, he is well deserving. I'm not just talking about any king. I'm talking about the King of Glory. I'm talking about the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that breaks you, the one that's going to get on the cross and die and be humiliated and beaten. I'm talking about the king who's going to restore our relationship with Christ, with God. Jesus came to restore us, and whatever we have to pay, it will never be enough compared to the blood that was shed. It is never enough. It is never enough. There is always room for us to give more to the king. And you're talking about the poor. And when he understood it, he said to them, why trouble ye the woman? For she had wrought what? A good work on me. Wait a minute. There seemed to be some confusion here. Why are you bothering the woman? She is doing a good work on me. You don't know she has been on an assignment from God to come in, interrupt the service, to bring out the anointing. Because when she poured the anointing, it went into the entire house. Y'all want to pour out something just for here? No. She poured it out. The aroma filled the room. She paid the price. but the aroma filled the room. And sometimes God said, somebody else has already paid it. But if you would just humble yourself, you can get free. Because the anointing is here. The praise is here. The worship is here. All you got to do is humble yourself and say, God, fill my cup. And let it overflow. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. And he told them something that you got to always remember. He said, for you have the poor with you always. But me. Listen, saints. You're going to have poor folks with you all the time. I'm not being condescending. I'm just quoting the king here. He said, you're going to always have poor. The poor will always be with you. But what you don't understand, I just told you. It's not like I haven't said it to my disciple. I'm not talking to the group. I'm talking to my intimate circle. And I'm telling them, this woman is doing something good for me. And it looks good in the eyes of the king. Oh, my goodness. I mean, when it looks good in the eyes of the king, it does not matter what the others say. You got to learn how to block out the others. Help me, Holy Ghost. Whew. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. She did it for where I am going. There's something God wants to pour on you, not for now, but for where you are going. They're going to be places you're going to go. They're going to be people that you got to stand before, and they don't think you know it. They don't think you have it. But when you open your mouth, the anointing is going to come out. And when the anointing comes out, I don't care how much they fight, they're going to say, this is none other. This is none other than the house of God. God is at work. I can see God moving. You don't have to defend yourself. The anointing will speak inside of you and silence the others. If you know what time it is. And this lady, Jesus told them, I don't care where you go. I want you to add this one into the gospel. It is worthy to be recorded because she gave her all, the best. When is the last time you gave your best to the master? I ain't talking about no leftovers. You know, we are a leftover group. You know, African American. I'm just me. It's just maybe me. You know, we just love leftovers. Nothing wrong with it. It's good food. There's nothing wrong with it. But you can't take that leftover spirit when you're thinking of God. You got to be able to learn how to give him off the top. I got to give him my best. When I stand to deliver, I want to look my best. When I stand to deliver, I want to study as hard as I can because it is not for you that I'm doing it, but I represent the king, and you don't know the cost of my anointing. And because of it, I would never embarrass my king, not king, pastor king. No. I'm talking about the king of glory. So when I stand, I'll have to make sure all is in order. And then when the word comes, I said, God, I got stuff to do. It would sure be nice if you give me the word early this time. And I said, but I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just saying. And at 3:00 in the morning, he woke me up and said, what time is it? That is the word. And I'm going to give it to you early this time. Not because you asked, but because you are returning to the work. Whenever you're doing the work, God is always going to provide. He will always provide. Now, I have more, but this is, I knew he had already forewarned me, that he was going to stop me at the anointing. And at another time, I'll finish it. But God, Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Will you be willing to be used like the woman and interrupt the norm to fulfill the divine? Interrupt. Now you got to hear him so that you are not out of order. But he that have an ear, you can hear what he's saying. Amen. God is speaking. And you need to know, what time is it? Is it a time to sleep? Or is it a time for you to get in there and study this word so that when the enemy come, I didn't say if he comes, I say when the enemy comes, you will have the weapons that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You got some anointing in you. You should be able to pray a headache off yourself. You should be able to lay hands on yourself in the name of Jesus. God, I need you to touch. God, I need you to touch. It does not mean that we don't need to pray corporately and ask for prayer. But if you can't get someone, Jesus is just a breath away. And he is always on time. Never late. Even if he looks like he's late, he's not. And so I challenge you today to know what season you are in. The enemy is coming. The enemy is here. He is raging a war and daring the believers. Daring the believers, the blood-washed saints of God, to even utter a word against him. How dare him come into the house of God where the blood of the Lamb is all over and take it? Were you not afraid to walk in the house of God? I mean, there is no reverence for the house of God. There are certain things when I grew up you did not do. You couldn't come on the church property because they said, I ain't messing with that. That's God thing now. This is God. We must stand up so that the enemy will know when you come in here, you will be met with the blood of the Lamb. The blood. The blood. Not your blood, but the blood of the Lamb that will wash away sin. The blood that will cause him to be silent. He said, if we submit, he'll flee. The reason he is not fleeing, God said, tell my people, they're not submitting. Submit to God. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. Oh, I'm grateful for my husband, but I need God. I need God. He gives me breath. I need God. He breaks yokes. I need God when I get sick. I need God when I'm well. I need God. You need him. And it is time for us to find our place and do our part. May he find me in my place. Doing well, my part. That's all the sister did. She did her part. And that, my sisters and my brothers, was enough. When you do your part, may he find me in my place, doing my part. Because he promised us that we shall recover it all. I don't care what you've lost. Jesus is in the recovery business. And he can show you how to recover. Amen? What time is it in the house of God?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.